How are y'all doing this evening? Amen. Praise the Lord. Great to see y'all here and those of us online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Change My Heart, O God. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. And mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Amen. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody have a pick of him this evening? Huh? Glory, guys. Yeah, that's right. Praise the Lord. 350? All right, let's do it. 35, that's really close. God so loved the world. All right. 350. Mm-mm-mm. No, do you know a little bit of the tune? Oh, Victory in Jesus. Okay. 250, okay. So we could learn 350, but let's try 250. Oh, it's not 250 either. Oh, that's a little town of Bethlehem. It's around 350. Victory in 353, Victory in Jesus. Sometimes you can memorize some of these. All right. Victory in Jesus, 353. I heard an old story, How a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, any others this evening? Going once, going twice.
Amen. Amen. Good to see you folks online with us tonight. Those of you here in the sanctuary, do we have any praises tonight? Any praises? Well, let's hear them, Miss Sharon, your praises. Hold on, Brother John's going to mic you up.
First of all, I would like to praise God for what he's doing in all the young people's hearts across this nation and the world.
Yeah, amen.
He's just opening their hearts to him and
and
dropping the scales from their eyes, and I just want to give him a praise and thanks for that.
Amen.
The second one is my son. He's now officially a sailor. He's passed his major test, and he's a sailor.
That boy done did it.
We got a call from him today and got to talk to him about 30 or 40 minutes.
So oh, amen.
He's got one more small little physical fitness test they go through, but basically they're done. They're good to go.
Amen.
And in that, and part of God working in the hearts of all the young people, he's been working in Justin's heart.
Amen.
Because we had a family issue about 5 years ago, and Justin's held a lot of unforgiveness in his heart for his sister.
Right.
He wrote her a letter this past week, and he forgave her. He said he's been going to church, and he's held this anger, you know, and resentment, and held unforgiveness in his heart for her. And Amen. He learned all about Job and the Bible, and he learned about the Lord's Prayer and the Catholic Church. He's been going to Protestant, Gospel, and Catholic churches, and And he just wrote a letter. Amen. He said, I open my heart to you today, and I forgive you.
Amen.
And that was just a mama's blessing, and, you know, I've been praying for that for 5 years.
Good to have peace in the family. Amen?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's a good praise. Any other praises? What you got there, Jeremiah?
I got a prayer request and a praise. The prayer request might be obvious here in a minute, but that can wait for later. The praise is, praise the Lord, I'm all right after being in a vehicle accident.
Uh-oh. When did you have a vehicle accident?
Tuesday morning, 7:50 a.m.-ish.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, on the exit ramp of 249 Jones Loretta.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Was it your fault or their fault?
I'm pretty sure it was my fault.
Well, at least you're honest. Amen.
Oh, that's a non-commitment.
For sure. My
fault. Yeah, it's just easier to say it that way.
Amen. Well, brother, I'm glad you're all right. Nobody got hurt on the other end?
No. The barely a scratch on the truck. It's amazing. Yeah, the lady was fine.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah. Right. Nobody hit me in the back.
All right, amen.
Until the warrior gets old.
Amen.
That was a good-looking Tesla, though, that dodged the wreck.
Amen. Other praises. We'll come back to your prayer request in a little bit. Anybody else got a praise? Sissy, let's hear that total. I have not stole your thunder. I'm not stealing your thunder. I'm going to let you give that total fundraiser amount. Y'all going to be shocked. It was a big win.
This year we raised $7,426 from the chili cook-off. That's what we cleared after deductions.
Okay, $7,426-ish. Okay, amen. All right, very good, very good. Outstanding. All right, amen, amen. All right, what else? Anybody else got any praises? Anybody else? All right, prayer requests. All right, Jeremiah, let's hear your prayer request, man.
Well, the prayer request is that the Lord's will be done in the vehicle. I hope it can get fixed and I can just get back to driving it. But if that's not the way it's supposed to go, then I pray for a good replacement vehicle.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, who wants to pray for Jeremiah's car situation? You got it there back there, brother? All right, lift it up, man. All right, get that mic.
Father in heaven, we just ask you to watch over Jeremiah, and we're glad that nobody was hurt in the accident that he had.
Yes.
Lord, we just wish that you can help him with the financial situation he has about getting another vehicle. We pray that you will watch over him and guide him and let him hit the brakes a lot sooner, Lord, instead of rearing people. But we are glad to hear that nobody was hurt in that accident, Lord. Just be watch over him. Thank you. And we give you all the praise and glory. In his name we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. All right, other prayer needs? Anybody else? Prayer need tonight? Yes.
I guess I do have one more praise. It was really challenging to find a rental car this time around. I called 6-7 rental car places, and they're all sold out, as it were.
Wow.
Said, last week we had 20 of them sitting in the lot. We could have put you in one that minute. But they said this week they're... Everything is being already rented out.
And yes, everybody's getting ready for spring break.
Well, they're thinking the rodeo is right now.
Oh, that's right. People traveling in for the rodeo, and then they're going to be booked out for spring break next week. Wow. Rodeo. All right. Any other prayer needs? Yeah, Brother John.
Hi, Brother Lee. You've got Lois's brother's wife.
That's right.
Sandy.
Sandy?
Sandy Qualls. Yeah.
Sandy Qualls. And that... funeral is going to be here at the church on, give me just a sec here. Let me get there. Is that it? Yes. Okay. March 25th.
March 25th.
1 p.m.
Okay.
That's a Saturday. Jeremiah, they said they've already contacted you. You've got the music lined out for them.
Yes,
and I'll be officiating the service, and so we'll get that all dialed up March 25th at 1 p.m. Amen.
Now, this is Mary Qualls' sister-in-law.
Correct.
Which would have been Lois's brother's wife.
That's right.
Mark, I think, was his name.
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. So we'll have an opportunity to preach to, as Miss Lois puts it, a lot of lost people.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anything regarding food yet. She hadn't got.
I told her to send me a number, and if they want us to try to help with a meal, we'll try to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Yes, sir, Brother Ronnie.
Can I pray for her?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, wanting to care, Lord, for one of our sisters and
yes.
brothers, and during this time of grief, Lord, that we thank you for Brother Lee stepping forward to bring the message, Lord, and may his message turn the hearts of those that are in attendance, Lord, that, Lord, your heaven will be filled with future descendants, Lord. We thank you that your message is to our heart. May they be receptive to the word. May they know at that time, Lord, as to where they're going upon their passing, Lord. We thank you for the church. Thank you for stepping up. And thank you, Pastor Lee, for doing that, Lord. And Lord, may we have a giving heart to those and a heart of prayer for the situation right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What else? What else?
Annabelle had a cataract surgery.
How did that go?
It went well.
Amen.
So she's recouping, but again, it's, you got to be very careful, which, you know, not to rub your eye or
whatever. Both eyes?
The other one's going to be done later.
Okay, so they do one at a time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You want to lift that up in prayer for us, Ronnie?
Lord, we just come to you, Lord. Just thank you for Annabelle pulling through the way she did with this cataract surgery, and she's seen a good doctor to get a good job on her eye, Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, just little pain is what I heard, and she just needs a little rest right now and take
yes.
her eye drops, just get that healing done, Lord. So, again, just thank you for bringing her through this. Pray this in your name, amen.
Amen. All right, Gene's got one back there. Gene's got two.
All right, we're going to lift up my brother-in-law, Donnie Jones. He has throat cancer.
Okay.
20 years ago, he had throat cancer, and it came back, and they went in there and operated about 3-4 weeks ago, but it seems it's reappeared again already. So we need to lift him up in prayer. So let me lift him up real
Amen.
Quick. Father in heaven, we just ask you to be with all those who have cancer.
Yes.
It's a very, very bad disease, Lord, that a lot of people suffer from. Lord, we just ask you to watch over him, Donnie, and my sister Cheryl, as she watches over him and takes care of him. Be with the family and guide them. Lord, he is such a wonderful man. I know as we get older, Lord, it's time for us to come home to you, but Lord, if you can allow him to be around a little bit longer, it'd be wonderful, because he is just so beautiful. In a lot of ways, he is saved, Lord, and we know that. In fact, it's he that brought me to you and my sister. So please be with them and guide them.
Amen.
For this we ask in our Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Susie Bates, her feet were getting better, but they've turned worse. Now they're bleeding really bad.
Oh, my.
So Danny's been watching over her.
Yeah.
And cleaning up her feet. So we just need to pray for her and her feet and in situation that'll get better.
Amen.
So, Father, we ask you to be with Susie and Danny as Susie is suffering from this foot ailment that she has. We ask you, Lord, to let the doctors figure out what's going on and the best course of action for her, that she can walk a lot better than what she is doing right now and be healed of this infliction that she has of her
yes.
feet. Lord, we just ask you to be with them both. Be with Susie and Danny with his lung problem that he has,
yes.
Lord. Let him lift his voice up to you and be able to sing loudly unto you, Lord, because he loves praising you, Lord, and singing. So just be with them both and guide them both. For this we ask in our Savior's name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else?
All right, Brother Lee, I'd like to make a point. You know, there's some people that are missing here tonight, and we always wonder, is something wrong.
Yeah, right, amen.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Without mentioning names,
sure.
But familiar faces.
Right.
And we always are concerned about them. We like to pray for that, and also our shut-ins.
Okay.
And those that are going through some health issues that are
sure.
Part of our congregation.
Amen.
So, I can't think of anything else at this point.
All okay. Right. All right, amen.
All right, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you graciously, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us, Lord, where we failed you, Lord. And we reach out through live stream and through prayers for these people that we love so much, and we miss them when they're not here in a body of believers, Lord. And we pray that all is well with them, Lord, and we know things do come up. Now the things are going on in their lives, Lord, but we obviously are concerned that everything is well with them. And, Lord, we ask you to handle this apprehension on our part and that everything is well in your heart, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for our shut-ins, Lord, that they're able to hear us live stream, Lord. We ask
yes.
you to continue to watch over them. We lift them up to you, Lord. That you protect them, keep them comfort during the time of illness and pain. And, Lord, we ask that you continue to move upon this church and this body, Lord, that you will keep us strong in the faith.
Amen.
That we always be in your word. And, that, Lord, that we continue to glorify you and everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord. We do go through turmoils, Lord, but you are our Redeemer.
Yes.
You are our Counselor. You are our person, Lord, that is there for us when nobody else is, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, for our shut-ins, we continue to pray that they get strength, that they would be able to come back into the fold and meeting.
Yes.
And we thank you for that, Lord. And, Lord, for all these other people that have illnesses, Lord, that unmentioned, Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord. You know each and every one of their pains, Lord.
Yes.
And we ask that be your will that you heal them, be your will that you make them well, reduce their pain, comfort them, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, may your will be done in each and every one of those situations. We thank you for our church and our school, Lord, and the prosperity that you've given it.
Yes.
We ask, Lord, that you can continue to guide us and watch over us, and may we be good stewards. Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, I'll close out our prayer time tonight. We'll get on into the Bible study. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to intercede on behalf of others. We are thankful for these praises tonight, Lord. And before we close out this prayer time, we do want to lift up the Hudson family, specifically Linda Hudson and her daughter and former son-in-law and the loss of their son, Andrew Hightower. We pray that you continue to comfort Linda and her daughter and extended family in the loss, a tragic loss of this 32-year-old young man. So, Lord, we just pray you be with them, comfort them, help them through this difficult time. And then, Lord, we continue to pray for Ronnie Holman, pray for his healing from cancer. And, Lord, just pray you might deliver him, set him on high, Lord. Just get that old bladder cancer out of his body. And then we continue to pray for Ronnie Vaculik and all the many health issues that he has. Pray you touch his body, help him, Lord. Be with Brother John, his back, and Lord, things that ail him, we just pray that you touch his body and be with him. And then, Lord, for those that, again, that wanted to be here, that couldn't be here, we pray you make a way for them to come back this coming next week. So, Lord, we're thankful for your word in advance. And, Lord, lead, guide us, and direct us as we get into it this evening. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen, amen. All right, let's turn. You don't have to stand. We're going to read two passages. But let's start with Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, and this is where we're going to end. And you say, well, we're going through Leviticus. Why are we in Romans? Well, it'll make sense when we get to the end of it, okay? So Romans chapter 12. I covered a lot of Leviticus chapter 11 on Sunday night. We'll review that quickly here in a moment. But Romans chapter 12. Beginning in about verse 9, okay, Romans 12, beginning in 9. 12:9. Got it? Romans 12:9. Those of you with us online, Romans chapter 12, verse 9. The Word of God reads, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Notice what it says there. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and we're going to Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, are you there? And we're looking at verses 16 through 19, all right? Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Okay, remember that word abhor that we read in Romans 12? Now, let's see what we got here in Proverbs 6. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies. And one who spreads strife among brothers. All right, so those are the two passages. And we're going to try to make a beeline to that this evening. Now, last time, what did we do? Last time we covered the categories of cleanness and uncleanness as they are defined by God in these verses. And I'm going to give you the verses. I'm not going to have time to read them, but I'll give them to you. You're more than welcome to review them at your leisure. But what was the first category? It was the land animals. That was verses 2 through 8, Leviticus chapter 11. Then secondly was the sea creatures, cleanness and uncleanness, as they're defined by God in these verses. That was verses 9 through 12. The third category, those creatures that are in the air, verses 13 through 19. And then we covered flying insects, verses 20 through 23. Fourth, there is the category of dead animals which are unclean, verses 24 through 28. And then fifth, those pesky swarming animals, mice. When I hear that word swarming animals, my mind immediately goes to the, and I've never been there, but my mind immediately goes to, perhaps you have, I haven't, immediately goes to the subway system of some large city. I'm thinking New York, I'm thinking Chicago, and I'm thinking rats swarming, right? Running down the tracks, right? Or running down the sewer, whatever it may be. That was verses 29 through 31. Now, with that said, let's talk about cleanness and uncleanness just in terms of generalities. In other words, what are some of the things we can observe about cleanness and uncleanness as we find these terms in Leviticus chapter 11 that we've already covered? Other points will come as we get to different kinds of uncleanness, but let me touch on a few characteristics of cleanness and uncleanness right here and right now this Wednesday night. A general definition of cleanness and uncleanness. First, in chapter 11, cleanness and uncleanness has to do principally with food, okay? Cleanness or uncleanness results in the contact with a dead animal. Now, some of these animals that are dead are called unclean because they could not eat them if they wanted. Because why? They're classified as unclean. We talked about, and I'll mention to you again, even a clean animal, a bull or a sheep, right, could not be eaten if it were not killed in a sacrificially prescribed way. So the designation of a clean and unclean has to do with food or that which is touched when dead. All right, just kind of remember that. Secondly, we're talking about general definition of cleanness and uncleanness. Second, cleanness or uncleanness is a matter of category more than it is of condition. Now, we think of it kind of the opposite way. But cleanness or uncleanness here in chapter 11 is a matter of category more than of condition. Now, when we talk about being clean, we generally speak opposite of that. We generally speak of condition, the condition someone is in, right? If our children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren come in unclean, then they need to have their what? They need to have their hands washed or their faces washed or their little bodies washed, but they're still in the category of a child, right? Still the category of our children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. When we read online, when we come across something on Facebook Marketplace, or we see it on a used car website, or maybe even a car dealership that speaks of a used car for sale, and they state in their advertisement that the car is clean, right? It's a clean used car. That supposedly describes the condition of the car, not the classification of it, right? The vehicle described may be a two-door coupe, may be a four-door sedan, may be a minivan, may be a crossover. It may be a convertible. It may be a hardtop. Those are classification areas. Clean, in automobile terms, is a condition. But basically, what we're dealing with here in Leviticus 11 are categories. It's categories. Clean is a categorical pronouncement. In other words, it is all those animals that chew their cud and have split hooves, whether their hooves have been washed or not. Right? Makes sense? We're talking about categories, not necessarily conditions. First, in chapter 11, cleanness and uncleanness has to do principally with food. Secondly, we've said cleanness or uncleanness is a matter of category more than condition. The category is clean or the category is unclean depending upon the classification of the creature that is in mind. Thirdly, talking about general definition of cleanness and uncleanness, third, cleanness is that which is defined by God and declared by the priests. Okay? The priests don't get to define it. They just get to declare it. God has already defined what is clean or unclean. Clean or unclean is clean or unclean by the definition, and the definition for the clean and unclean creatures is given in Leviticus 11. Who gives us that? Well, God gives us that. Amen? So the definition of clean and unclean is declared by the priest, which will become more and more important as we get into these skin disorders that are coming. The responsibility will be that of the priest, who must say, this person or this disease is clean or it's still unclean. God sets the what? He sets the definition. God sets the what? He sets the parameters. The priest merely proclaims God's parameters. Fourthly, we're talking about general definitions of cleanness and uncleanness. One, two, three, four. Four. Cleanness or uncleanness, and this word kind of matters. You may have been listening to this Sunday, last Wednesday, the previous Sunday. You may have been listening to all this and saying, well, what does this matter? What's the point? Well, now we're getting to the point. Cleanness or uncleanness is the state of access to God. Access to God. The practical outworking of being declared unclean means that we have to what? We have to stay back. We have to stay back. For example, a priest in Leviticus 22 cannot go about his priestly duties in a state of uncleanness. We'll get to that in Leviticus 22. He must wait until he is what? Ceremonially clean. So one may not approach God in normal worship in an unclean state. This unclean state restricts one's fellowship with God as well as one's fellowship with men. And kind of the same thing happens in the New Testament. You have somebody that's backslid off in sin. You bring them back into church. Well, friend, if they're not willing to what? Confess and repent? They feeling awfully uncomfortable in this place, are they not? They feeling so uncomfortable in this place that they are easily offended. That they really don't want to be here. And the first excuse to get out of here, they get out of here. What am I saying? I'm saying that their fellowship with God has been hindered because of kind of sort of unclean, right? And because their fellowship with God has been hindered, guess what? Their fellowship with us is in here. It's hindered as well. Make sense? So it kind of happens in the New Testament along those lines. This unclean state restricts one's fellowship with God as well as one's fellowship with men. This is the natural consequence of the declaration of uncleanness. Now, you know this. You already know this, but I'm going to tell it to you. Cleanness is somehow related to holiness, isn't it? Yeah. Now, we say that cleanness is next to godliness, right? That's what we say in our culture. Cleanliness is next to godliness, right? We say that. Well, that's been said, right? Amen. We speak that. But what people are really referring to here, whether they know it or not, I think they kind of deep down inside know it. People are really referring to holiness. That's what I think, right? When they say cleanliness is next to godliness, they're really saying cleanliness is next to holiness, right? Amen. So, have you seen the little bathroom signs that people put up? I think one of them's here. It goes like this: wash your hands because Jesus and germs are everywhere. Is that one here? I think that one's here somewhere. Or that may be in one of my bathrooms at the house. It's all over the school. Or cleanliness, this needs to be on the wall at the school where the little kids wash their hands. Cleanliness is next to impossible. They get some of it off, preacher, but they can't get all of it off. Amen. Cleanliness is next to impossible. Now that has some wisdom to it, right? Jesus and germs are everywhere. Cleanliness is next to impossible. But in Leviticus, cleanliness is next to holiness. It's holiness. Now, when we get down to the basic reason why an Israelite is to make these distinctions between clean and unclean, it is because God says, you are to be holy, for I am holy. God says that, right? So here in Leviticus, for the first time in history, for the first time in the Old Testament, men and women are to observe these distinctions of clean and unclean because God, not Aaron, not the priest, not Moses, but God has made them. Therefore, cleanness is related to God's holiness, and Israel is to observe it because of the holiness of God. Are you still tracking with me? You're going to get this before we get out of chapter 11, I promise. Therefore, there is a direct relationship between what is clean and what is holy in Scripture. Right? On the other hand, what is unclean can never be holy. Never be holy. Some things that are clean may be consecrated and set apart as holy, but nothing which is holy is unclean. Only that which is clean can become holy. Now, there is also an intensification which goes on here that I don't want you to miss in chapter 11. What are you talking about? Well, remember last time when we went through all those categories of animals, right? Remember that? We went through those verses. When we read through chapter 11, we start out with the sense that these are the creatures that are going about on the land, and some of them are clean, right? Chew the cud. Split hoof. And some are unclean. And then as we continue to read on down, the ones that they could eat are clean. And then the ones that are unclean, they were to avoid. But then as we continue on down and we get to the next category, that we get into those that are in the water, right? And it talks about them not just being unclean, my Bible says abhorrent, and their carcasses you shall detest. Do you see the intensification there? We went from clean and unclean to it's clean and you better abhor it. And their carcasses you shall detest. Now, I think the application for the people of God is this, and I'll be done tonight. There is a sense in which one's emotions must come to agree with God's. I'll say that again. I think the application for the people of God is this. There is a sense in which one's emotions must come to agree with God's. Now, let me attempt to get you to think about this for a moment. And if you were planning on eating after this, you may not be wanting to eat after this, but chalk it up to you didn't need to eat this late anyway. All right? There are certain kinds of food We would not even think, we would not even begin to think about eating, right? One of the great Western artists, I love Western art. One of the great Western artists had written a number of short stories. Scholars today studying these short stories in his Western art do not know if they are true or not. But one of the short stories was called, are you ready? Was called, how many of you have dogs? All right, hold on. The short story was called The Dog Eater. The story is about this poor old man who was a trapper, and he was stuck out in the middle of winter in a cabin with no food. He and his dog were together. As the man neared the condition of starvation, he began to have these terrible dreams that he did not want to dream, but these dreams kept coming to him. It was a dream of having dog tail soup. Dog tail soup. Finally, the day came when he could resist no longer. And he crept up behind his dog with an axe, and he lopped off his tail. And he took that tail and he boiled it up for soup. A few days later, the dog with his stump of a tail, and the man shared his soup with the dog. The dog came back to him, and he shared his soup with the dog. And you know what? The dog was so hungry, he didn't seem to mind. Everything was all right. Now, if we were to read a story like that, I don't know about you, but I cannot think of anything more abhorrent than to eat dog tail soup. Can you? Dog tail soup. See, there's a sense in which the Israelite is called to detest what is unclean. Does that make sense to you? The Israelites' mindset is more than just saying, I can eat this and I cannot eat that. Rather, his mindset is more a matter of saying that I can eat that, and those things which I cannot eat, I loathe them. I abhor them. I detest them. I don't want anything to do with them. For us, we cannot rightly relate to the unclean things until we loathe them as well. Abhor them as well. Remember what happened to old Eve in the garden? When Eve looked at the forbidden fruit, it looked good to eat. It looked good to eat. She looked at that as something desirable, not just to look at, but something desirable to eat. Now, God knows that if we, New Testament folks, if we look upon something as desirable, then sooner or later, we're going to eat it or partake of it or do it. It is only when we look at that food or we look at that sin or we look at that thing as something terribly undesirable that we are not going to eat it or partake of it or do it. Make sense? And that gets you back to Romans what? 12, 9 through 13, and Proverbs 6, those verses we read there. Make sense to you tonight? Amen, amen? If you're not careful, you will keep sneaking up to the line and looking over it, and sooner or later, you're over that line. You've crossed it. Why? Because you didn't abhor it. You didn't detest it. You didn't loathe it, right? God says, what is clean, you may, and what is not, you need to stay away. Amen, amen? All right, yes? Those of you with us online, we'll see you next time for our next installment in our series of messages on Leviticus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. Be with us as we leave this place tonight. Give us safety as we depart. And, Lord, we look forward to being here on Sunday. And, Lord, we pray that your church house will be a full house. That, Lord, you draw visitors to this place and you draw people looking for a good church home to this place, God. And people online, Lord, there would be more than usual. And we just pray your message would go forth and go out. And, Lord, we pray as we lift you up, you draw all men to yourself. And, Lord, we pray as you do that, you might save some of them. Thank you, Lord, that you still do that. You still use us in the process. We praise you and thank you for the opportunity. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed tonight. Thank you all.